Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we continue in our teaching series in Nehemiah, we're going to talk about the middle today. The middle. Now, if this was a teaching series on desserts, this would be the best part. Can I get an amen? Okay, because we should all just agree that the middle of a dessert is the best. If you like the crust, I need you to follow me through the dessert line, and I'll give you all you want, okay? We were at family dinner last Sunday afternoon. My wife's cousin, she made this dessert that combined brownie and chocolate chip cookie. Are you with me? And there was a layer of melted chocolate chips in the middle. Oh, yes. Doesn't that just sound like heaven? Well, it's sitting right there on the counter, and I'm waiting, you know, the finger tapping, you know, the waiting for my turn because they serve it. Well, all of that salivating and anticipation I had, because they had ice cream to go with it, all of that anticipation was dashed when I saw the piece they gave me. It was the corner piece, not one edge, but two. So I tried to be strong in my faith. I didn't complain. I didn't let a spirit of offense arise. I just ate that piece. And when nobody was looking, I went back and got a piece of the middle. Because that's the best. Okay? If this was desserts, it would be the best part. But we're talking about rebuilding. In the middle of rebuilding, you might have to forgive me. I might have overdone it in singing and worship in first service and preaching. My voice is coming up short. In the middle of rebuilding, it's really the season, the essence, when the energy, the momentum, I don't want to say the excitement, but the beginning, the excitement of that, the push into the beginning has begun to fade. And yet we haven't made it far enough that the end of the journey, the end of the rebuilding is close enough to inspire us. And so we're in this middle ground where we're not as excited, we're worn out from the beginning and we can't see the end. And what happens in the middle is that resistance starts to rise, doesn't it? Hard things begin to happen. And in the middle of rebuilding, that season when resistance is coming, it brings its own set of questions, doesn't it? In the middle of rebuilding, questions like, is God really for me? Maybe it's framed like this. I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to respond. I'm trying to do all the right things that God is calling me to. Why is so much bad stuff starting to happen in my life? Have you ever been there? You see, those are questions of the middle. As we look into the story of Nehemiah today and his rebuilding legacy, we're going to see the importance of a practical response to resistance. We're going to see that to encounter resistance doesn't mean we've gone off track. It simply means that we have an enemy and we have a choice to respond. So today, in the place of your rebuilding, if you can relate to some of those questions or the tension of the middle, I would invite you to lean in today. Because resistance doesn't mean God's forgotten you. He's not finished. Need to keep going. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today, the legacy of Nehemiah. And Lord, the reality that the middle, after the beginning has faded, that initial push, that drive, that resolve has begun to be really tested, and the end is not quite close enough to inspire us yet. Somewhere in that middle ground, resistance starts to come, enemies start to arise, and Lord, we start to question. We start to face a real challenge of giving up. So So God, I pray for every rebuilding story in the room today that you would bring your encouragement today, that you would help us to see in the story of Nehemiah the practical response, the ways in which we can counter the resistance of the enemy. And Lord, that we would surrender ourselves to your plan and to see you get all the glory from our story. Lord, search us today and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4. If you have your copy of Scripture, text is going to be on the screen. There is a YouVersion event created if you're a Bible app user today. But Nehemiah chapter 4, this is the middle of the story. Beginning at verse 1 says, "When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are?' Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, 'What are they building? Even a fox climbing on it could break down their wall of stones.'" One of the first things we see in the middle of rebuilding is this principle. And if you don't hear anything else today, I hope you do, but please catch this with me. That whenever you're following God's plan of rebuilding for your life, whenever you are leaning in and surrendered and giving your all to living after the way of the Lord in your life, you will face resistance. Okay, one more time. Whenever you are being obedient, you're following the will of God for your life, and you're doing everything you can, you're looking to Him, you will face resistance. Don't be surprised when it comes. We've jumped a long way in the story today from where we left off last week. If you're just joining us today, we're in the Old Testament story of Nehemiah. During this time, the people of God have been taken away. They've been taken captive into a foreign land because of their disobedience to God. This, in biblical history, this period of time is called the exile. And so the people are in exile. They've been taken away from the homes and everything they know. And it would be a seemingly hopeless situation except for one fact, and that is that God was not finished with his people. And so the Lord is at work in this season through men like Nehemiah. He's a key figure in this plan, and he's allowing and enabling the people to return to Jerusalem from Babylon and Assyria and all the empires and to rebuild. And so they're starting to be able to put back the structure of worship at the temple, and they're beginning to rebuild the city walls. And these are critical things. They're elements of identity and calling for God's people, and he's allowing and empowering that restoration. And so Nehemiah, who's, again, a key figure here, last week we saw that as Nehemiah heard reports that, hey, they're countering resistance, it's not going well, Nehemiah goes into the presence of the Lord, and he takes all of his processing, his raw emotions, his, yes, lament, his grieving in the presence of the Lord, and there he stays, stubbornly surrendered to process that with the Lord. He refuses to do anything until the Lord says, go. That's last week. That's Nehemiah's story. We believe that he prayed for 4 months, getting his heart aligned with the perspective of God about what was happening. And so as we come into Nehemiah chapter 4 today, we're jumping ahead in the story, and Nehemiah is on the scene in Jerusalem, and we're starting to unpack what's happening in the middle of the story. And so as the people are rebuilding, the resistance is rising. And the first resistance we see here in chapter 4 is coming from two men, two enemies named Sanballat and Tobiah. And they show up here in verses 1 through 3 harassing the people of God. They're casting shade on the people, and they're doubting what they're trying to do. This would be like yo mama jokes, but worse. Okay, like they're striking at the identity of who they are as God's people. They're striking at the possibility and strength of what God can do. And so these are adamant enemies of the plan of God for his people. And so as we stated earlier, whenever you're following God's plan for your life, you will face resistance. Sometimes that resistance is going to come through an enemy. So how do we respond? Verse 4 captures Nehemiah's response. He's praying. He says, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plundered in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. In response to resistance, Nehemiah prays. Now, you might be reading the content of that prayer going, Pastor, I thought Jesus said we're supposed to love our enemies. What do we do about that? I don't know. We got to process that. But here's the thing. We need to understand in this prayer that, one, we are called to the standard of Jesus, not Nehemiah. Okay, so we have the benefit of seeing this post-life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and he taught you and I that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. But in this prayer, we are to see a man who is, with all he can, seeking the justice of God for the injustice that he is facing. And so we see that he doesn't run to his social media feed to vent his frustrations. He runs into the presence of God and begins to pour out his heart. We see that when he encounters resistance, he prays, and that the presence of God is a safe place that we should come and pray and process, and then we act. We see that in Nehemiah's response. Verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it had reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. You see, Nehemiah doesn't allow resistance. He doesn't allow enemies to distract him from the work God has called him to do. He never uses prayer as an excuse not to work, and he doesn't use work as an excuse not to pray. He holds those two things in balance and tension and surrender before the Lord. And it says the people worked with all their heart, and the walls were halfway done. I want to try to get a visual of this because we're talking a lot about walls. And so, I mean, it's not sheetrock and 2x4s. What is it? Here's a picture of the walls that we're talking about. And so you can see large stones stacked together. And so you start even in this picture to get a scale of what we're talking about. Archaeologists and scholars believe that the walls we're talking about in Nehemiah's day were somewhere between 6 and 10 feet wide. Okay, so the platform I'm standing on from me to that edge is 8 feet. So you start to get a scale. We used to say where I come from, it's about yay big. Okay, so it's yay wide. And we believe that it was somewhere about 40 feet tall. So think 3-story house, or if you were to look outside, a tall telephone pole or power pole. And so you've got width and height. And we believe that the wall that they're building to encircle and to totally enclose Jerusalem was about 2.5 miles long. And so, for instance, today, if you're headed south, 2.5 miles from this address to the entrance of Merck is your distance. If you're going north, think Berlithia Baptist. And so that's the scale of the wall that we're talking about, 8 feet wide, telephone pole tall to Merck. And it says they're halfway there. And so as we start to try to understand the middle was a big part of this story, wasn't it? That's a big wall. The middle is a big part of the story. And so you see, as resistance is coming, this is a massive undertaking. But it says there something very critical there. They give their full attention and focus to the work. We read later in the story of Nehemiah that the people were so intensely focused in the season that they're selling homes, they're mortgaging fields, and they even sell some of their family members. Now, I'm not saying we try that approach, but I am saying we should look at their example and find that there are seasons in life in rebuilding where we give it all. We have one single focus, and that is the call of God on our life. And we leverage everything we have to be obedient to do it. It's a season of intensity. That's what we're seeing in the middle. A season of intensity. Their enemies take note of this. They notice their determination. Verse 7 and 8, I'm not going to read that, but in 7 and 8, Sanballat and Tobiah, they round up some friends because two of them wasn't enough. And so they get a couple friends with them, and what you see when you look at the friends that they bring is that they literally had someone from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And these enemies come, and so literally in the story, the people in Jerusalem rebuilding the walls are surrounded from every direction by enemies. The resistance is rising. But look at their response in verse 9. But we prayed. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. We again see the response to resistance in prayer, but we also see it merged with action, in that they didn't take their eye intensity off the work, but they began to set a guard so that they could keep going. This is the middle. Verse 10, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. In verse 10 here, we see that resistance can come from another place, and that's the past. Did you catch that? It says there that the rubble is in the way. They can't rebuild because of the thing of the past. Now, we have to remember that in the story that these walls had been destroyed. They had been torn down. They'd been burned. We just read about that in the Mock of the Enemy, right? And so this rubble is in the way of what God's calling them to do now. And I wonder, in your story today, have you ever felt like the rubble, the stuff of the past, is in the way of what God's calling you to do today? The reality is that there are things in our past that can get in the way of what God wants to do in our present. Resistance can come from the past. This is the middle. Remember, when you're following God's plan for your life, you will face resistance, and that resistance might be from your past. Back in our story, this theme of resistance, it continues to build. I mean, that's all we've been talking about, right? And it continues to build. Verse 11, it says, also our enemies said, so here comes the chatter of the enemy, right? Before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they're going to attack us. And so we see the same enemy and that chatter continuing. But a new form of resistance shows up from the other Jews who lived in the area. They had so bought into the taunt and the language of the enemy, they come and go, hey, 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 the enemy's coming, the enemy's coming. 10 times over, they repeat the threat of the enemy. The language of the enemy is now being repeated by friends and family. These people, the fellow Jews, should have been encouragers. They should have been people holding up and carrying blocks. But instead, they come as a form of resistance because they don't have an eye on what God is doing. And so sometimes in our rebuilding story, resistance is going to come from people who love us, who mean well, but just don't have a vision of what God's doing. They might take up the word of the enemy that says, oh, did you think about, well, what about all the ways, and all of those things, that worry might come in from somebody we love and we trust, but we have to recognize in the middle, friends, that might be resistance to God's will in our life. Now, we still love them. We still pray for them. But we need to be careful not to allow that resistance in. We need to be focused on what God is calling us to do. That's the legacy of Nehemiah. So we have all this resistance built up. In verse 13, we see a bigger response. It says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And so Nehemiah is surveying all this resistance. He's not oblivious. He's not pretending that it's not real, but he surveys it all, and he specifically calls his people in the face of resistance to remember the Lord. We just sang, the battle belongs to you. That's this in the Old Testament. It is to remember the strength of the Lord and that it is his fight. And he also does something really neat here. He knows where he's weak. He sends people to the lowest points of the wall that would be easy to overtake, and he doubles up his resources where he's weakest. He pays special attention to those weak spots. And then he calls his people, after calling them to remember the Lord, he says, remember your family. Because the reality is, when we're in the midst of a fight, when we're in the messy middle, is that we are not just fighting for ourselves. There are people in our circle of influence whose lives will be changed and impacted by our fight. And I don't say that to heap burden on you, but to encourage you that it's not just about you. It's about more than that, that there are people close to you that see you and do life with you that will be challenged and changed by your obedience in the middle of a fight. Grandparents, I'm talking to you. Parents too. But the reality is, it's not about being a grandparent or a parent. It's about being a follower, a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. And our stories have impact. And so Nehemiah, in the face of resistance, is calling us to remember the Lord and who we're fighting for. To be encouraged. Future generations will be impacted by your story. As chapter 4 continues, so does the resistance. Nehemiah begins to get really creative with how to deal with it. He takes half of the work crew. They were working on blocks and carrying those things. He takes half of those men and sets them back. And they are to stand guard over the people who are working. And then the people who are out gathering materials, they're literally carrying a block on one shoulder and a sword in the other. Now, I'm from Elkton. I can say this now. This is a block and a Glock strategy. If you don't know what a Glock is, don't worry about it. But they're literally doing their work with one hand and carrying a sword with the other. In this season, it was whatever it took. And so Nehemiah's gotten creative, and they are banded together in the fight. Nobody is fighting alone. They're in community. That's a response to resistance. This is the middle. If you want to see the middle is not the end. That's very important. The middle is not the end. If you want to see the end, we need to jump over to Nehemiah chapter 6. And after all of this resistance, after all this buildup, the end kind of comes anticlimactic. It says in verse 15 of chapter 6, so the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. 52 days. When all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Whose battle is it? The Lord's. And people saw it. A wall yay wide and telephone pole tall to murk was done in 52 days in the face of immense resistance. This was a miracle. This was God's battle and his rebuilding. Friends, from the middle to the end, opposition on all sides, the people of God made it, and you can too. You can too. Because resistance in your story doesn't mean that God is finished. That he's forgotten you or that he's not right there with you. And if I could just be honest, that idea would encompass a lot of questions I get as your pastor. Well, pastor, I'm trying to do the right things. We're praying and reading the Bible and worshiping. We're trying to be obedient. We're trying to do all these things. But yet so much hard stuff, so many bad things keep happening. Am I doing something wrong here? No, you have an enemy. Because the reality is, friends, in the middle of our rebuilding today in 2026, we have the same enemy as the people of Nehemiah did. His name is the devil. Satan. And he's known throughout the story of Scripture by many names. He's known by names like the accuser, the father of lies, the destroyer, the adversary, the enemy, to name a few. And so what we see is that he is the true source of all resistance to God's plans in your life and in the life of people in Nehemiah's day. Now, I want to be sure to warn you that the enemy does work through people, but they're not our enemy. Later in the New Testament, they will tell us that our enemy is not flesh and blood. And so that means that our enemy, the great resistance, is not our boss or our co-workers. It's not our ex or that person who did us wrong. It's not any other political party. It is coming from one central source, and that is Satan. That is evil. That's the source of resistance. Now, it works through people, and they're to be held accountable for their actions. It's not what I'm trying to say. But there is a recognition that resistance comes from one place. The Bible tells us later, also in the New Testament, that the enemy of your soul, the source of resistance, is roaming around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. If you haven't watched National Geographic in a while, go Google that. That's the image that scriptures give us of the adversary, the source of resistance in our life. And so what we begin to see is that resistance for those who are following Jesus, who are leaned into him, who are being obedient to him, like that's the undergirding of this whole story, is that they are following God's plan. That those who step into obedience to his plan will face resistance. That's a common experience because we have a common enemy. The question then becomes, what do you do about it? Because you don't get a choice whether you face resistance, right? But we do have a choice in how we respond. And I think that's one of the most beautiful pieces about this passage of Scripture, is that Nehemiah gives us some handles. He gives us some tools to hang on to in this messy middle. There's way more content here than I can get through in this setting, so I would encourage you to study this on your own. I say that a lot, and I mean it every time. But read through chapter 4 this week. I pulled out just a couple things. I pulled out a brick. I wanted a whole pallet of them, but that gets problematic. They're not very portable. It's not the great sermon illustration. So I put a brick on a piece of paper for you. And I think brick as an acrostic, B-R-I-C-K, can help us get a handle, put some tools in our hands for when we're in that middle season. B becomes, as we respond to resistance, B comes balance. In the story of Nehemiah, he responds with faith and action. That when resistance comes, he always starts with prayer. He's always surrendered. He's always aligning his heart with the Lord, and then he acts. And so he doesn't lean too heavy on one side or the other, because I know some of us, maybe type A personalities, we have that tendency, we'd rather just bolt into the work, right? Well, we've forsaken the important work of prayer, and then there's the other side that I'm just going to pray about everything and never do anything, and that's not going to work either. And so we see in this messy middle the importance of balance, of bringing together faith and action. Faith and action. B-R, remember the Lord. When the people were growing weary, when the middle was getting hard, the chatter of the enemy is getting to their ears and their hearts, Nehemiah says this to his people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who was great and awesome, and fight for your families. Fight for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When we're in the messy middle, when it seems like the end is never going to come, we have to remember whose battle it is, whose strength we're fighting on. Call to mind that it's not about what we're able to do. It's not about our capabilities. It's about God and his fight, and it's about our surrender and responsibility to stay in tune with him. And as we're in that fight, to remember that it's not just about me. That there are people and lives around us, friends, that are watching, that their story will be different because of our obedience and our fight. You might be impacting future generations you don't even know yet by your obedience in the middle of this fight. Don't give up. Remember who you're fighting for. Remember the Lord. B-R-I, intentional focus. The people worked with all their heart. If you have squirrel brain like I do, you know, where you just chase stuff around all the time, this can be a hard one. Because I don't know about you, maybe you don't share in this experience, but when stress comes, when pressure comes, when resistance comes, you start to look for an out. Now, that out might be scrolling on social. That might be binge watching a series. That might be disappearing into the mountains. But we have to call to mind that this is a season. The middle is not a time to become distracted. It's not a time to lose focus. Look, those distractions are fine in their proper place. Hear me. But we have to be aware when we become distracted and taking our eyes off the matter at hand. The middle can be a time where we push away distractions and we focus everything we have. We leverage all of our time, our resources, our energies go into this moment because it's that important. The middle can be a time of intense focus. C, B-R-I-C, community defense. You are not called to rebuild alone. Introverts, that might disappoint you. You are not called to rebuild alone. If you look at some of the instructions, so much of Nehemiah, if you even go back a chapter into chapter 3, there's just laying out of who's stationed beside who on this 2.5-mile wall. This was a community endeavor. When the resistance began to grow, so did the togetherness of the response. And that people are working here, putting blocks and things down, and people are standing here on guard, overlooking them. That means we are to have people who watch our back, who are willing to carry blocks for us, who are willing to check us. How's your soul? How's your focus? How's your rebuilding? We need people who have our backs in prayer, who understand the call of God on our life for this season, and who can encourage us and hold us accountable. This is not a season to veer off onto your own. This is a season to be in community. It's a community rebuilding. Who's got your back today? Who's got your back? B-R-I-C-K, keep going. Keep going. There's a lot of resistance that makes you want to stop. To throw up your hands and say, I'm out. Keep going. Keep going. The middle is not the end. The middle is not the end. God's not done. Keep going. Keep going. One brick at a time. These cards are, there's a couple on the altars and in front of the cross. They're on the high tops in the back. I'd invite you to get one on the way out. If you're in a season of rebuilding or you know someone, maybe this would be a way you could pray for them. Would you stand with me this morning, those who are able? And responding to resistance. The band is going to lead us today in worship. This, again, is just space. It's time that you can respond. Maybe you're facing resistance today. Maybe you feel that pressure of the middle. Maybe you've given up, and today you're hearing the invitation of the Lord to say, keep going. Maybe you've been overwhelmed by resistance. Maybe you've become distracted. Today is just a heartfelt invitation to recenter on God, on His call for your life. And if you feel alone today, please don't leave here alone. Pastor Terry's in the back. I'll be up here in the front. Find the person next to you across the room that you feel like, hey, can I go to coffee and talk with you for a minute? I need some community defense. Don't leave here alone in the fight. Rebuilding is a community effort. And so today, however the Lord would lead you to respond, there's just space for that. The altars are open. You're welcome to come and pray. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thanks for your word today. Thank you for the challenge and the invitation. The reminder that the middle is not the end. That you're not finished. And that when we're living surrendered to you and following your leading and we're doing everything that you've put into our heart and our mind and we're still facing resistance, Lord, that that's not a sign that we've gone off track. That's just a sign and a reminder that we have an enemy. But Lord, the beautiful thing is that's a defeated enemy already. Because Jesus, through your life, death, and resurrection, the enemy, Satan, is defeated. And so, Lord, today we as your sons and daughters share in your victory. And so, God, I pray that we would live and we would, yes, fight and respond and pray in your strength in the middle of this rebuilding. Lord, we love you today. We give you thanks. I pray that for that person who feels worn out, who feels alone, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon them of refreshing and renewal. And put someone in their life who can watch their back. Who can lift heavy loads and who can give words of encouragement in the midst of the rebuilding. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Moments of seeking, friends.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.